Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, isn't that good this morning? What a blessing. Enjoy that good song. Say amen. Amen. All right. I don't need you to settle down now. I know we've got a lot of folks in here, but let's please keep you moving down here this morning. Be real still. Open your Bible to the book of Job, chapter 2 this morning. The book of Job, right before Psalms, back there in the Old Testament. The great book of Job, and what many believe is the oldest book in the Bible. And the reason they believe that Job's, there's several reasons they believe Job's the oldest book in the Bible. One is 42 chapters, and he never mentions the law. That'd be hard to do if the Old Testament law was in, had been written. And the way that it's the style and so forth and so on. 42 chapters in the book of Job. Job on the ground, 7 days and seven nights. Type of the tribulation, picture of the great tribulation. 42 chapters, exactly how many months there are in the great tribulation. 3.5 years. So the book of Job is a type and a picture of the Jew being persecuted during the tribulation. Leviathan, the devil. You know, Job. God made Job promises. And I've been listening, preaching, and people talking about the book of Job. And God, everything the devil took from Job, God gave him back double. And there's a verse of scripture over there in the Old Testament that said if a thief be found, he'd have to restore double. So the devil was the thief. He cometh to steal. And everything he stole from Job, God gave him back double. Isn't that something? And the devil took it away, and God allowed him to. God gave it back to him. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And they all got killed. And then he had all them sheep and all them camel and all that. And the Bible said the Lord gave Job double what he had to start with, except them sons and daughters. If he had 7,000 sheep, he got 14,000. If he had 3,000 camel, he got 6,000. But he had 10 kids and only got 10 back. How come he didn't get double kids? Because them first ones was still alive up there in heaven. See, them cows and sheep and stuff, you can't beat that book right there, let me tell you. Them cows and sheep, they was dead and that's the end of them. Down, Mike, just a little bit. They was dead and that's the end of them. But them kids were still alive. So he wound up with double kids in heaven right now. So Job here in Job chapter 2 is on the ground suffering. And I'm telling you, this old boy is suffering. Look at verse number 13. Job chapter 2. Verse 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now, what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to do what I usually don't do. I'm going to preach to a small group of people in here. Most of the time, when I get up here to preach, probably 80 to 90% of you are right in the bullseye. You're in the target. This morning, I'm going to preach for a few minutes to just a handful of people in here this morning. The rest of you just sit still and listen, because your time's going to come to be in this group. The Bible said that Job sat on the ground for 7 days and seven nights, and all his friends just sat there and looked at him. They couldn't even say nothing. They were at a loss for words. He had lost his sheep, his cows, his camels, his kids. 10 funerals at the same time. Oldest boy, youngest boy, oldest daughter, youngest daughter at the same time. And his barns and stuff burned up. And the Bible said the old boy just sat there and, but Mike, get down just a little bit, please. And he had boils on him, and he had these boils on him, and he'd take a piece of pottery and scrape them boils. His grief was very great. Now, I'm going to preach this morning to you that are in here this morning with a broken heart. And I'm going to preach on this subject when it hurts too much to cry. Have you ever cried and cried and cried and cried till you couldn't cry no more? I see some of you nodding your head. You can cry so much that you run out of tears. And you still hurt the same, but when you try, nothing don't come out your eyes. You're just grief-stricken. It's a terrible, terrible. A broken heart is a terrible thing to have. I heard Jack Hiles say many times, he who preaches to broken hearts will never want for a congregation. And there's people in here this morning, some I know, some I don't know, that you're hurting and you're grief-stricken. And I want to try to say a few things about this to help you this morning. I've heard people say, I feel like I'm about to die, preacher. It's killing me. I don't know if I can make it through this. I read about a young man by the name of Clifford going to Bible college. He left a well-paying job in New York, went south, went to Bible school, took a wife and two kids. When he finished his first semester of Bible college with honors, he was sitting in his house home for like a spring break or a summer break. Somebody drove by in a drive-by shooting and shot through the window of the house and in the living room and killed him. His wife and two kids were left without a husband, without a daddy. Sometimes it don't make sense. Sometimes stuff happens up in life that you can't explain. Sometimes you just think, why in the world is this happening to me, God? It can't get no worse, Lord. Maybe you've even tried to do right. And you walked in one day and there was a note on the table that says, I don't love you no more. You know, I heard a preacher say the other day, and I'm working on this and I'm thinking about it. He said, the worst pain that a person can feel emotionally is rejection. Rejection. You feel rejected by those that love you and they're supposed to love you. That's an awful feeling. Kids feel like that from their parents a lot of times. Rejected. Husbands and wives feel that from each other. Rejected. And some people even feel like God's rejected them. That's an awful, awful, awful feeling to have. The old black spiritual they used to sing many years ago said, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. And them old folks used to walk around singing that. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. I mentioned Jack Hiles a while ago, and he used to say, be nice to everybody, because everybody's having a hard time. And there's people in here this morning that your heart is just about broke. I read about a young man named Steve. He was a missionary. And he was one Christmas going home to see his parents. A missionary. They found his car on the side of the road, abandoned. He had picked up a hitchhiker, tried to be a witness to him, and the man killed him. Never did make it home. You hear stories in the Bible of Job's physical pain, Hezekiah's fatal attack of boils in the Bible, leprosy in the Bible, dropsy, fever, blindness, lameness, and the palsy and things like that. There's women in the Bible that were brokenhearted because they weren't able to bear children, like Hannah and Sarah and Elizabeth. And some were beaten. Some were raped, like Dinah and Tamar. Some had unfair persecutions, imprisonments, beating, stoning, hanging, tortured, beheaded. And many of our forefathers were burned at the stake. And not to mention the untold agony that a lot of God's people have gone through. Now, all of us have had a broken heart at one time or another. I've been there. I've been to the point sometimes where you're hurting so bad, you try to pray and you can't pray. You try to read the Bible and you can't concentrate on the words. You don't want to eat. Somebody told me not long ago, they said, preacher, I was going through a separation. Their husband left them or something like that. And they said, preacher, I have no appetite. I can't even eat. I said, well, you know, good time going to diet, I reckon. You don't even have to try, and you worry it off. You worry it off. I've been through times where I've walked the floors like this right here and walked back and forth. And I've walked back and forth like this right here and look at a picture on the wall and start crying. Take that picture down and stick it under the couch. And I'd walk back into the house like this right here and say, Lord, where are you at? Walk out, look at that same tree out in the yard. Look at that. Listen, have you ever been to where you dreaded seeing nighttime coming because you didn't want to lay down and toss and turn another night and have to go through what you're going? Listen, life can get like that sometimes. If you're here this morning, you've never been there, all I can tell you to do is pray and get ready because your time's coming. It might be physical, it might be domestic, it might be financial, it might be some other kind of attack, but the devil is going to attack you somehow and the devil's going to work on you. The Bible said, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're not going to get through this world without some kind of suffering. A lady called me one time and she said, Brother Danny, what does that verse in Job mean where it said man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward? And I said, well, look at it. Look at it. If you build a fire, the sparks fly up. The next day if you build a fire, the sparks fly up. The next day if you build a fire, the sparks fly up. That's how sure you're going to have trouble. Man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Just as sure as sparks go up, that's how sure you're going to have trouble in your life. Now let me say just a few things about this morning, and maybe it will help you. Number one, why do we have to suffer? Why do we have to? People say, if God loves us, why does stuff like this have to happen? Well, there's several answers to that. The origin of trouble is we are the victims of the first lie and liar, the devil. Eve believed the devil and her and Adam sinned, and sin entered into the world when Adam and Eve ate the fruit there in the Garden of Eden. Every tear, every tragedy, from cancer to the common cold to broken bones to broken hearts, can be traced to that one moment when Adam and Eve ate that fruit. You can't overstate the devastating results on the untold sorrow that sin brought. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin came into the world and death and suffering came right behind it. We have to suffer because sin is in this world. If that world, but if there'd never been no sin, there'd never been no suffering. And the only way we're ever going to get rid of suffering is getting rid of sin. Thank God we're going to a place one of these days where there ain't going to be no sin and therefore, hallelujah, no suffering. But down here in this world, it's suffering and it's suffering. Every once in a while I hear one of these TV preachers get on the radio and TV and they trying to build a big church, give people the impression that if you'll get right with God, you'll never have a problem. You ain't never going to get sick. You're going to have a new car. Money is coming your way. All you've got to do if you want money is give your money to me. That's what they say. You want some money? Give it to me. Yeah, whatever. I'm going to write a letter and say, if you believe that, send yours to us. If they really believe that seed faith, plant a seed in our ministry. But anyway, they give you the impression that all you have to do is be saved and live right, and that's this kingdom theology. You know what kingdom theology is? That we're reigning with the Lord right now, and we ain't. We're not reigning with the Lord. We're going to one of these days, but we're not right now. That's not true. Now, God can bless you financially, and God can bless you spiritually and physically. He can and He does. But if you think you're going to get through this world and with no problems and no burden, you're kidding yourself, because sin into the world brought suffering. We suffer because we have a fallen nature. Adam's flesh became susceptible. You know why you get the flu? You know why you get a germ? You wake up one morning, you got a sore throat and a headache and your bones are hurting? Because your flesh is susceptible to germs because we've sinned. Just everything that you don't see is a picture of sin. Like germs come in and affect your body, that's the way sin does your soul. We are susceptible to germs and suffering because we have sinned. We have an ungodly people that cause us to suffer. People who have died, persecutors, ridicule, loss of job, sickness, death, things like that. Then the world system causes us to suffer. Imagine if you took an eagle. Now, God made an eagle to fly. Son, they can get up there and they'll fly. And there's nothing prettier in nature than seeing an eagle pass over like that, just soaring over like that. If you took that eagle and tied his wings up and forced him to live in a little pond with a bunch of ducks, that eagle would be miserable. He's not made for that. He's not made. He's made to soar. He's made to go up there. He's not made. He's tied up. Man, that's the way we are in this world. Listen, when God saved you, He put within you a divine nature. You are made to soar. You're made to live up there. And we're tied up in this whole world of suffering and sin. And that's why we have to suffer with this whole world. Are you listening? Ungodly people, the world system, and then satanic activity causes us to suffer. The Bible said there's a woman in Luke chapter 13 that Satan had bound for 18 years. That's an interesting study. 18 years, the devil had bound that woman. I've been asked many times, is there a difference between physical ailment and mental sickness or demon possession? Sometimes you can be either one of those or all three or two of those. A person, just because a person's what we would say mentally unstable, don't mean they're demon possessed. Don't mean they're not either. They can be. There's mental illness, there's physical illness, and there's spiritual sickness. Sometimes, if a person has a physical illness or a mental illness, the devil will take advantage of it, and then he'll get in there and make it worse. That happens all the time. But the Lord said this woman was bound by Satan. Now, the world, you know what the world said? If you went out there in the world this morning, they said, we're working on a cure for cancer. We're working on this. We're working. And they're trying to make it to where relationships don't break your heart. And what makes you sad? They're hunting drugs to get you to take drugs to make you where you're never sad no more. And you can't hurt. You can't experience grief. And you can't feel bad anymore and all kind of stuff like that. But it'll never happen. We're in this world and we are going to suffer as long as we're in this world. The world answers it by reincarnation, cosmic dualism, fatalism, hedonism, and all kinds of crazy things like that. But the bottom line is, we suffer because we're in a cursed world, and as long as we are in this flesh and in this world, there's going to be suffering. I tell you, it'll wake you up. It will wake you up to go to a hospital. I go to that hospital down there in Winston-Salem, and I've been in there and seen little kids with cancer and leukemia and stuff, and it's just room after room after room after room after room, 7 and 8 and 9 years old, laying there with tubes hooked up to them, my hair all gone, mama sitting there, been sitting there for weeks and months. Listen, brother, this old world is full of suffering. Are you listening to me this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this morning, that's what is suffering. Number two, I'm going to talk about the good side of suffering. You say, all right, I'm listening. Preacher, I'm hurting today. You don't know what I'm going through. And you're going to get up there and tell me there's a good side. Yes, there is, thank God, a good side. You listening? I'm not trying to be sarcastic. There really is something good about suffering. I'm going to tell you, there's no way I could know the things that I know and be able to help people the way I help them and counsel people all the time if I hadn't been through some of the suffering that I've been through. There's a good side of suffering. It ain't fun while you're going through it. But when somebody calls, I have preachers call me all the time. Every so many months, I'll get a phone call from another state. They'll say, is this Danny Castle? Yes, it is. Well, this is so-and-so. You don't know me, but I've heard about you. And I'm going through this now, and I need help. I need help. And I say, well, brother, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I say, you've helped me so much. I'm glad there's hope. You believe there's hope? I said, thank God, yes, there's hope. Now, you know what the good side of suffering is? You can help other people that are going through the same thing that God. Listen, when God brings you through it, you look at somebody and say, there's hope for you. Hallelujah. So it ain't all bad. It ain't all terrible. It ain't all like, oh man, I'm going through this thing and I'm just going to give up. No, you keep your chin up and you hang in there and you serve God and you do right if the stars fall. And you stay in church. Don't you let it knock you out. You keep going. Listen, when you feel like going on the least, that's when you need to do the most. When you don't want to go to church, get up and go to church. When you don't feel like praying, hit your knees and pray anyway. The light will shine one of these days. Glory to God, the Lord will bring you through. There's a light at the end of that tunnel, and there's a good side on the other side of it. Lord have mercy, that about makes me want to shout this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Telling you what, boy. I'm telling you, that's shouting ground. Amen. Don't let me tell you what to do when you're out there. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't think you're the only person that's ever had your heart broke. You ain't. Now, I'm not trying to sound mean to you this morning. I ain't fussing. But look, you better thank God it ain't worse and you ain't in hell. Could be worse, you know. You know my philosophy? My philosophy is expect the worst. Hope for the best. Take what comes, keep your mouth shut, and thank God you ain't in hell.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I sit around and say, well, why'd this happen? Why that? You better not get no attitude with God. Buddy, you know what I did when I was going through my troubles? I looked at what Job did, and old Job looked up and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the right attitude to have right there. Say, Lord, I'll serve you if you take everything I got. Lord, I'll serve you if I have to live in a hospital. Lord, I'll serve you if I have to stay in a rest home. God, I'll serve you no matter what. Listen, if you give me my feet and I can ride a bicycle, I'll serve you. And if I have to have my legs gone, I'll serve you anyway. Listen, there are people worse off than you are in this world. You ever met these people that they have a problem and they think the whole world's supposed to stop while they have their problem and me, everybody should come and pet me. Now look, I'll pet you a little bit, but you got to tough it out. Did you hear about that fella who survived the Johnstown flood? The great Johnstown flood. There's like 4,000 people years ago. That damn bust Johnstown, Pennsylvania, I believe it was. Man, that flood come down through there and wiped the whole town out and thousands of people died and everything. And one fella survived it. And he went around everywhere giving his testimony. He went around to churches. He went everywhere church he went to. Can I give my testimony? Can I give my testimony? He said, oh, it was awful. Water was coming in from everywhere. I got out. Oh, you wouldn't believe what I went through. Right? Everywhere he went into every church giving his testimony. And everywhere he went, somebody talking about me. Or is that your ears burning? What is it when your nose is itching? Somebody going to give $1,000. Touch your neighbor and say hallelujah. I can itch all day. But anyway, that guy, he went to this church. He went to that church. He went to this church. He went to that church. Everywhere he went, he wanted to brag on how he survived the Johnstown flood. Well, so he finally died. And he went up there and was having a big testimony service in heaven. And he could not wait. Oh boy, he was going to tell everybody, millions of people up in heaven. The Lord was letting people give their testimonies. And boy, he waited and he waited and he waited. He said, is it my turn? Angel said, sit down there, son. And he said, is it my turn? Angel said, sit down there, son. You're going to get your turn in a minute. He said, I survived the Johnstown flood. I'm going to tell everybody how I went through it. He said, just chill out, man. They said, two or three people ahead of you. He said, well, when am I going to get my testimony? Went on a few years, testimony service there, you know, 8 or 10 years, you know, and all that. And finally, God said, am I next? And the angel got up there and he said, now we got a man over here who survived the Johnstown flood, but he's going to give his testimony right after Noah. He didn't have much of a testimony after Noah got through with it. The Johnstown flood wasn't a glass of water compared to that one Noah had. And listen, no matter how bad you think you're having it, no matter how much you're hurting, sometimes you think your problems is big till you get around some other people. That's why I advocate going visiting and going on a bus route and stuff. You think your problems are big till you get out and start meeting seats and shake other people's hand. Amen? I mean, this man right here, he's got some problems. There ain't no doubt about it. And I'm not belittling them at all, but these people worse off than he is. This sister right here, she's got something too. But these people worse off than she is. All these kids, 7 of them here this morning. I mean, listen, these people worse. You're if your name's in the book of life, you got it better than most people. Amen. I mean, if you lose everything you got, and your house burns down, and your family's gone, and your kids are gone, if your name is in the book of life, you ought to shout and say hallelujah. It'll be over. I'm going to heaven one of these days. Well, you know how to behave during suffering? Is rejoice. Bible says, you say, well, Brother Danny, that's blasphemy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Not in your trouble. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know how I can rejoice this morning? In the Lord. If I wait till everything's right, I'll never rejoice. If I wait till all my bills are paid and everybody's healthy and everybody's happy, there's always something wrong down here. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, and that never can change. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't get a martyr complex. Poor little me. Nobody's ever went through what I'm having to go through. I'll say one more thing and I'm done this morning. God's purpose in your suffering. Why are you having to go through what you're going through? You say, I'm all ears, preacher. Tell me. If God loves me, why am I having to go through this? I'm going to tell you, and I'll be done. Number one, that you might be able to help a weaker brother when they're going through the same thing you're going through. God lets you go through stuff so that you can help somebody else down the road somewhere. How many of you have had that happen? Haven't you had that happen? You've been through something and then lo and behold, somebody in the church or somebody you know, the very same thing happens to them and you just spill out wisdom and advice, and it just comes from down in here somewhere. That's why God lets you suffer. Number two, you know why God lets us suffer? God lets us suffer to show the world that His grace is sufficient. If Christians didn't ever have no trouble, they'd say, well, like the devil said, no wonder Job serves God. You've done this, you've built a hedge around him. Good night, who wouldn't? The Lord said, all right, let's take the hedge down. Watch what he'll do. You know what the world did? The world watches us Christians. And when they see us hang in there in persecution and trouble, it makes them think, you know what? Them people realize. I picked up an old drunk one time up in Marion years and years ago. I knew all the drunks in Marion. And really, on a first name basis, my girls knew them on a first name basis. Picked them up all the time. I knew where they were going before they got in the car most of the time. They get in. I used to witness old Tater Sheehan before Tater ever got saved. Tater was a town drunk, you know. You've heard me tell about him. And if he wasn't drinking, he wouldn't even talk to me. But if he's drinking, he'd always want to borrow some money or something. I'd pick him up and talk to him. Well, I picked up this old drunk, and I was trying to get him to come to church. And he looked at me and he said, Danny, you've been through a lot up there, ain't you? I said, sure have, brother. Sure have. And he said, you know what? He said, when I ever do decide to come to church, that's a church I'm coming to. And I considered that a bigger compliment than meeting Dr. So-and-so downtown. Him saying, hi, Reverend Castle, how's your ministry going? I hate your guts. He didn't say that part. I consider that a bigger compliment. That old drunk said, if I ever do come to church, that's where I'm coming. You know what he's doing? He said, they watch you. They watch you. And when they see you go through it and stay faithful, now you don't blow your brains out. You don't go get drunk. You just keep going to church and staying in there. They say, you know what? That proves to me that what that God's real. That's why God lets us suffer. That's why God lets us suffer. One more thing and I'm done. You know God's purpose in suffering? God's purpose in suffering is for His glory. I'm going to tell you this and I'm through this morning. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget that I see the under, but He the upper side. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that He has planned. I look at y'all this morning, and while I'm up here talking to you, my mind just flashes back to times when I was on my face bawling, saying, Lord, am I ever going to get another blessing? And I see all them colors weave together. And when I get up there, I'm going to look back and see a big picture that the Lord made for His glory. And I'll say, well, glory to God. You helped me through it all. That's why we have to suffer. I don't know who you are this morning or how you're suffering, but they're coming to get us a song this morning. Somebody here this morning's got a broken heart. And don't get bitter. Don't get backslid. Don't go out and do something stupid. You put that thing right here on this altar. Maybe, I guess the worst hurt you can feel, like I said, is rejection. If you're going through a divorce, that's worse than physical pain. Because you feel guilt. You know, God's not God's will and God's not pleased with it. And it's an awful, awful, awful thing. And I don't know anybody right off the bat that's going through that right now, but they probably are. Will you let God speak to you this morning and heal that broken heart? Maybe you're here this morning and you've just been through something awful. And your life's a mess. And the Lord brought you here this morning to hear this sermon. Why don't you come and get it fixed? Let's stand. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.